This week, I want to talk about, I have ears to hear. Do you have ears to hear? I have ears to hear. You have ears to hear. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 15. He says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." If you have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, what is he? Now, I know a lot of people who have ears, and it's just to have something on the side of their head so it doesn't look empty. Maybe it's to kind of hold their glasses so it doesn't slide down their nose, the ears. Are they going to hang some earrings on? Is that what your, that's what your ears are for? Holding earrings? Okay. I'll tell you, it's interesting what Jesus is saying here. Ears to hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Not everybody that has ears hears, do they? If you're a wife, you know this. When your husband is sitting in front of the TV and sports are on, doesn't matter what sport it is. If it's a ball that's bouncing, it doesn't matter. And he's watching that, you can begin to talk to him. He does not have ears to hear. You could talk to him for 5 or 10 or 20 minutes. He might nod and mumble something, but he hasn't heard a word you're saying. It's funny how the wife always has a chance to, that's when she wants to say something when he is watching the sports. But he's not going to hear you because he doesn't have ears to hear. But we want to have ears to hear, as Jesus says here. Now, what is he talking about? What does he want us to hear? What is he? Because there's something specific that he is talking about that he wants us to hear. What is it that Jesus wants us to hear? What does he want us to hear? He wants us to hear what he's saying. He wants us to receive it. What is Jesus talking about? He is talking about the kingdom of God. His whole ministry was about bringing the kingdom of God, bringing heaven on earth. And so he is talking about that. He needs us to hear it, though. Some people can't hear it. They can't receive it. They can't understand it. And so he's speaking and he wants us to hear the words of the kingdom. If we hear the words of the kingdom, now we can activate the system of God. We can activate the kingdom of God in our lives. If we activate the kingdom of God in our lives, we will have immediate healing. If we activate the kingdom of God, we'll have immediate prosperity and abundance. If we activate the kingdom of God, we will have the strength and supernatural power to overcome any problems that stand against us, no matter what they are. But we have to have ears to hear. Now, listen to this. This is kind of interesting here. This is Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. Hearing comes by the word of God. So Jesus is asking us to hear, right? He's asking us to have ears to hear. And it's saying here in Romans 10, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if we want to hear, it comes by the word of God. It comes by the things that God says. It also comes in his word, the Bible. That's how we have hearing. Okay? So we're receiving, that is the hearing that he wants us to have. And it's about building faith. Because what does he say? He says, so then faith comes by hearing. He wants our faith to be strong. If we don't have faith, we can't work the works of the kingdom. If we don't have faith, we can't do supernatural things. We can't receive the promises of God. God has already given you the promises of God. He has already created the heaven on earth, but you need to receive it. It's already here waiting for you, but you need to receive it. And you have to have that faith to receive it. To have the faith, though, you need to be able to hear. And you need to be able to hear the word of God. That means God is speaking to you. He is saying things. And if you can do those things, if you can say those things, then heaven on earth will be here for you right now, today. Amen. Not tomorrow. You don't have to wait for it. It's already waiting for you. But you need to have the ears to hear. Now, this is interesting because Jesus says, here's what Jesus says in John 12:49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Let me read another one here for you. This is in John 5. John 5, verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Jesus is talking about a very important principle in activating the system of God, in activating the kingdom of God. Did you guys catch it? Did you catch what that system was? Somebody say amen out there.
Amen.
Maybe you didn't catch it yet. What was the system that he just talked about that he said was so important, and why he is also saying you need to have ears to hear? He wants us to hear from God. He wants us to hear God speaking into our lives. And whatever God speaks into our lives, we need to speak that over our life. So if we hear it from God, we now say the same thing over our life. And this is the formula that Jesus is showing us. And he said, I can do nothing of myself. Jesus was saying, I'm not doing this on my own. It's not me that's just coming up with this. I don't just suddenly say something because I want to say it. I don't just do something because I want to do it because it feels right in the moment. I don't just suddenly try, hey, it sounds like fun to walk on water. Let's go do that. No. Jesus hears God say, walk across the water. What does Jesus do? Jesus does what God said to do. He just said that. I never did anything on my own. If God said it, then I did it. If God told me to say something, then I said it. This is a key principle here. But we got to have ears to hear. Jesus is hearing very clearly what the Father was saying to him. And then it's very easy. He just has to say what God has said. He's telling you, have ears to hear so that you can hear what God is saying. And then it's made simple. You just have to say what God says. If God tells you to do something, just do what God says to do. If you keep doing it like that, then supernatural miracles begin to happen. That's why Jesus was able to do the things he did. He had no authority on his own, he said. That means he had no power on his own. He could not have healed sick if God had not given him the words, heal the sick. Heal this sick person. Put your hands on them. He could not have healed them if God had never said that to him, never given him that guidance, never given him that word of what to do. So everything Jesus did, and he says this again and again and again, and he says, have ears to hear. Let him hear. He wants us to hear the word of God too. If we can hear his words, we can speak them over our life. And if we do that, now the power of God moves in our life. Now the power of God heals in our life. Now the power of God blesses in our life. Now the power of God transforms in our life. Say amen.
Yeah.
All right? So this is what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about have ears to hear. He wants us to hear the word of God. He did the same thing. He heard the word of God. If we're going to work the works of the kingdom, if we're going to bring heaven on earth, we need to hear the man that's in charge of heaven. We need to be able to hear his words so we can say those words, right? We need to hear what he wants us to do. Now, ears, have a spiritual meaning also. Ears, the spiritual meaning of ears has to do with obedience. And in this case, since he's talking about God, Jesus wants us to be obedient to God. Oh, no, Ted, here we go again. Obedient with God. That sounds like so much work. How am I going to do this? Be obedient with God because I've got all these other things I've got to do. It starts to sound really hard. What does Jesus want us to be obedient to? He wants us to be obedient to the command of God. What is the command of God? What's the command of God? The blessing. Somebody already knows the answer. But some of you might be thinking, he wants us to be obedient to the commandments. He wants us to be obedient to these 10 commandments and the 600 or whatever plus other ones that are in there as well. God wants us to be obedient to that. That's the command that he wants us to be obedient to. No. Those commands have already been fulfilled. If you have been made righteous, then you are redeemed, then you are reconciled to God. Amen. The 10 commandments and all the other ones that go with it. Yes, amen to this. Somebody get excited. If those commandments have already been fulfilled, if you have been made righteous, that means you don't have to fulfill them. Those commandments, the 10 commandments and all the rest, were there for people who are not made righteous. They are there for people who are out there not redeemed, not reconciled to God. And so as a result of that, they need to follow these rules of do not, do not, do not, so they do not hurt themselves. Do not touch the stove. Do not cross the street. Do not play with sharp objects. Do not run with scissors. They need to do that so they don't hurt themselves. But if you have been made righteous, who's been made righteous here? You've been made righteous if you've received Jesus into your heart, the gift of righteousness. And if you've received the gift of righteousness into your heart, now those are not the commands that he wants you to hear. So what is the command that God wants you to hear and wants you to follow? Because he gave you a command. It's a wonderful command, actually. It's not hard at all, because often when we think about commands from God, we're thinking, oh man, there's no way I can ever do this. Or, oh man, this is going to be so boring. Or, oh man, this is going to be so hard. Come on, Ted, I just want to go out into the world and have some fun. Can't I just live a life and have some fun? I got to follow these commands from God. And this is going to be very difficult. But if you remember, we had in this, there is a wonderful place here. It talks about this in the book of Genesis. It talks about the command of God. Remember back to Adam. Remember Adam? Adam is the man made in God's image. In the likeness of God he is made. And right after he is made, and God said he made them male and female, so none of you were left out, okay? Right after he made him, here's what he said. This is chapter 1 of Genesis, way back in the beginning, in verse 28. The first thing he says, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion. This is the command of God for somebody who was made in his image. This is the command of God for somebody who has been redeemed and made righteous. These are the commands that God wants us to be obedient to and that Jesus is talking about. He is talking about of us being obedient to being blessed. Can you handle that?
Yeah.
Can you handle following the commandment to be blessed? Can you follow the commandment to be fruitful, to multiply? What is this talking about in a practical sense? When it says have dominion, it's saying have supernatural power over the things of the earth and all the problems that try to come against you. You have the power to overcome them, and nothing can stand in your way. Sickness cannot stand in your way. Falsity cannot stand in your way. Darkness cannot stand in your way. You have the power, is what having dominion says. Multiply, be fruitful. It's talking about you having blessings. It's talking about you having increase in your life. It's talking about you having prosperity, meaning wherever you go, if you start a business, that business flourishes, that business multiplies, that business is fruitful. If you start a family, your family is happy and joyous. There is an abundance of happiness and joy in that household. It is overflowing with joy. This is the command that Jesus is talking about that we need to follow. If you've been redeemed. That's the command to have, that you are blessed. And so we need to have ears to hear so that we can say the things that God said, so that we can work the works of the kingdom, and that we can receive the blessings of God. That is the command that he has for those that are righteous. You are the righteous.
Praise God.
And you are the redeemed.
Yes.
Say amen to this.
Amen.
You are the redeemed and you are the righteous. And this is the command for you. Be blessed.
Amen.
Be blessed.
Yes.
Be fruitful. Multiply. Have dominion. Subdue the earth. Meaning those things that try to rise against you, you have supernatural power to stop them. So you can work the works of the kingdom. So you can bring heaven on earth everywhere. This is what Jesus is talking about here. That is good stuff.
Yes.
That is good stuff. You know, quite often, see, people get stuck, and when they hear about obedience and God, they're like, oh no. Because what are they thinking? They're thinking about those commandments. But remember, Jesus came and fulfilled all the commandments in full. He fulfilled everything, and he was seen as righteous. He accomplished it all without fail, without fault, without missing a single beat. And as a result of fulfilling that, God was able to give us a gift of righteousness. In other words, we are restored to being like Adam was when he was first created. And now we don't have to follow the commands, this Ten Commandments and all these do nots. Now we get to follow the original command of God. And the original command of God was be blessed, be fruitful, multiply, have dominion. This is where God wants you to be. So if you have any inkling that you got to follow those other rules, you got to wash that out right now. Ask Jesus to wash that thought out of there, because the command of obedience we're talking about here today, every day at Golden Heart, we're talking about the command to be blessed.
Amen.
Can you be obedient to being blessing? I want to be obedient to being a blessing, to receive blessing, to receive increase, to receive prosperity, to receive health, to receive goodness. All of that is coming. So now, how do we hear this? Because it talks about, again, if I go back to that verse I was reading about, that hearing, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because we want to be able to hear God. You know, and so we can hear it through the word of God. So we've got the Bible. There's different ways to receive that. We can, you know, receive it in different ways. But let me read a couple of guys that received it in kind of interesting way. And this is in John. Sorry, not John. It's in, where am I looking? Oh, this is in Revelation. Okay, Revelations. Here we go. And then I took the little book out of the angel's hand. This is John the disciple. He is having a vision. He is seeing an angel before him. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many people, nations, tongues, and kings. So here John the disciple has an angel before him who's holding a book, and he receives that book. He is told to eat that book. How many of you are getting a little hungry? Maybe you didn't. Maybe you skipped breakfast today. You were in a hurry. Starting to feel a little hungry? How many of you are ready to eat a book? Any of you ready to eat a book? We have one ready to eat a book. All right. So here, this is what John was doing. He's eating this book. The good thing is it tastes sweet like honey. Now, we have this same example again, or something very similar, in Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 2. And so I opened my mouth, this is Ezekiel, so I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly and fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate, and in my mouth, like honey in sweetness. So here, Ezekiel ate this scroll. Again, an angel is before him, and they say, eat this scroll, and he eats it. All right? So we can sit down, and we can have a nice meal eating the Bible. I don't know, paper, when I think of eating paper, I kind of get a little jittery. It makes me feel kind of weird eating paper. It's kind of dry. But that's not going to really feed us the way that they're talking about here. Because notice what happened after both of these guys, Ezekiel and John, ate this when this angel gave it to them. They then prophesied. What happened? They heard the words of God. They received the words of God, and now they begin to speak the words of God. The words of God have become a part of them, and now they begin to speak them into the lives. They begin to prophesy them over people, over lives, okay? And so we want to do the same thing. We want to receive it, but we don't have to sit down and get out a knife and fork and eat the Bible. We have a whole different way to do it. Now check this out. In John chapter 1, verse 14, this is talking about Jesus. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." This is talking about Jesus. The Word, the Bible, the Word of God, the will of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay? So Jesus is the embodiment of the Word of God. He is the embodiment of the will of God. He fulfills it totally and completely, all of it, that will of God, that Word of God. There it is. And so, let me skip down now to another part here. And this is in Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And this, you might recognize this as the Last Supper. This is part of the Last Supper that I'm reading here. And he said, "And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So he broke bread, he blessed it, and he said, "Eat this. This is my body." What is he telling them to do? He is telling them to receive the Word of God. He is telling them to become a part of that Word. As we eat something, eating in the spiritual meaning means that it's becoming a part of me. So I'm not talking about just chomping down, you know, corking down something, eating. No, we're talking about it becoming a part of you. And so here when Jesus says, "This is my body," and he gives them this bread, and now they eat it, it's representing, he says, "This is remembrance of me." So he's asking them to remember to make it a part of them. Make what a part of them? Bread represents goodness, God's goodness. So they're making the Word a part of them. And the Word is all about God's goodness. So they're making God's goodness a part of them. Right? So they're becoming more of God's goodness. They are becoming more of God's Word. They are becoming this. They're receiving this by receiving it. And this is to remember that is what the communion was about. Remembering, receiving God's goodness. Remember, eating it. Making it a part of us. And so, Jesus became the Word, right? The Word became flesh, excuse me. And so he dwells in the earth, and now he tells us to eat of him. And there's another part of this. This wasn't the only time where he had communion, where he broke bread, where he blessed bread and he broke bread. There was another time in the scripture where he did that. Do you remember where he did that? Think about it for a moment. Where was a time where he said, That's right. When he fed the 5,000, he also prayed over this bread, and then he broke it, and then he gave it to the disciples to give to all the people to eat. And then out of those few loaves and those few fish, all these people were fed, right? Now, this is an event taking place in John 6:26, shortly after the feeding of the 5,000. Okay, this happens just after. This is John 6:26 that I'm reading from. And he says, Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs." You're not seeking me because you saw me feed 5,000 with a few loaves of bread, he's saying. You're not seeking me because you saw me heal the cripples or cast out demons. That's not why you're seeking or following after me. But because you ate of the loaves and were filled. You ate the loaves and were filled. Now, he's not talking about physical bread here. Because you can get a meal, maybe even a free meal, in a lot of different corners and a lot of different places if you work at it hard enough, right? You can get a free meal and be filled. But he's not talking about that. And that's not why these people are following him. But he says they were filled. And he goes on to say in verse 27, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Because God the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he sent. What's the work of God? To believe in Jesus. That's pretty simple. The work of God is to believe in Jesus. Now he goes on to say, therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then that we can see it and believe you?" They want to see a sign before they'll believe you. "What works will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." The true bread. That's the bread that we're receiving. The true bread. And that is Jesus. That is what he sent down. Amen? Are you following me? And then he said to him, "Lord, give us this bread." So the people said, "Lord, give us this bread." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst."
Amen.
I am the bread of life. So how do we receive this bread? We believe. By believing what Jesus did, that he redeemed us. By believing what Jesus said, that if we say what the Father says, we will have the kingdom of heaven on earth. If we believe in what Jesus did and what Jesus said, and we do it, we will have it. We have already received that gift. He is the bread of life. "I am the bread of life," he said. And when we receive that bread, and we receive it just by saying, "Jesus, come into my heart," and then we remember it by doing the communion, we remember, God's goodness is becoming a part of me. That gift from heaven, the bread of life, is becoming a part of me. I am receiving the bread of life, and we are eating it. And by receiving this bread of life, we are able to hear the words of God. We are able to receive that word of God now when he speaks into us, when he speaks into our hearts. And now we can speak those same words. Do you have ears to hear?
Yes.
I have ears to hear. And I hear that command that God is giving here. And I say, yes, I can. I want to receive that command. Be blessed.
Amen.
Be fruitful. Be multiplied. And have dominion. Say amen to this.
Amen.
Say amen to this. So this is what we're receiving today. This is what we're receiving today. That your command to follow is to receive, is to know the command is to be blessed. And to know that all you have to do is believe in Jesus. So to receive that bread of life, you just have to believe. Believe what he did. Believe what he said. And you receive that bread. And you receive that word because you now have the Spirit dwelling inside of you. Remember what he said? It'll be written on your heart, those commandments. It'll be written on your heart. And now the Spirit from inside begins to nourish you. Because you will not hunger anymore spiritually. You will not thirst anymore spiritually. Because you'll have that river of life flowing through you. You'll have the bread of life filling you up. The Spirit of God feeding you in all ways. And that's the gift that God is giving to you. Receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.